Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we look at our text for today, St. Paul is bringing before us a great challenge. As it reads in the NIV, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with, and do you know the last word? Everyone. But you and I would be just as happy if St. Paul had, in fact, not ended it that way, but he had ended it this way instead. Live at peace with the people whom you like. Live at peace with the people who think the way that you do. Live at peace with the ones who have the same personality style as you. But that's not what he said. He said, live at peace with everyone. Dear friend, do you have any idea how hard it is to live with people? Okay, I'm making sure you're paying attention here. This is a challenge. This is big stuff. Day by day, week by week, year by year, with the same people, the same habits, maybe even the same old stories. And the call is to live at peace. The call is to bear up. The call is to extend to the brother the grace and mercy that Christ has extended to you. As a personality style, I tend to be a very direct, hard-driving, goal-seeking, goal-accomplishing kind of person. That's just the way I'm wired. That's my normal. That's my natural. That's what makes me smile. And that seems to work pretty well when you're trying to get things done, but sometimes it just doesn't seem to fit in the pastoral office. Because I'm so task-driven, I have to be aware that I have this other side of me that I'm ready to run right over Grandma Schmidt to make sure and get my job done. Oops. So, what's the way that you tend to get yourself in trouble? How is it that the people living around you are bearing up with you? Oh, young and fresh and preparing to head out into my first parish, I remember recounting all the ways that I was going to be a blessing to my church. And then, weeks and months and years in, I came to understand that the blessing was from my church, as they were bearing up with me. Yes, there were ways that I was able to bring great blessing, to handle the Word of God, but I've always had this way that I get myself in trouble. And they soon discovered it too. And loved me anyway. I love this place where you study, this place where you teach. I love this place. This place helped form me as a young man to understand grace and mercy. As a person who thought that life was really all about success and being the one who was the hero, this place helped me to understand that I have one hero, though I don't like to often admit it. I wish it were me, but it is not. It is my wonderful and your wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love this place. Because when I came back for a second helping in the 2000s and was in my last course for the Doctor of Ministry, Dr. Hartung here? I thought I saw him. There, hi, Bruce. I had a class, my last course on campus. It was on healthy congregations. It was on healthy systems. And it almost makes me, I don't know if I should laugh or cry to think about it. My congregation was going through tremendous turmoil, heartache on a scale that I'd never experienced before in life and ministry. I came into that class with the other seven or eight brothers sitting there, and I said out loud to everyone there, "Can my congregation be the class project?" We're in trouble. I'm in trouble. In a private moment with Dr. Hartung, and you know how counselors are, right? They're looking at you, and you're kind of wondering, what are they thinking? Most of the time, you don't really want to know what they're thinking. And as we're having this conversation, I'm describing to Dr. Hartung what's happening in the congregation, how it's falling apart, how there's the spirit of deception, and it's corrupted our staff and our leadership, and we're getting ready to have to let a person go because of the deception that's happened there. And then he says, yeah, and then how did you tell the congregation about it? Well, so I started telling him, well, we wrote a letter, and in the letter, I wasn't sure how to say it, and I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and so I said that the person was having health issues, and so they retired early. Scott, you are telling me that there's this spirit of deception in the congregation. And you wrote a letter to tell the congregation about it. Yep. And you thought it best, and don't tell the way counselors do it, right? And you thought it was a good idea to deceive. Well, when you put it that way, and that began a new chapter in life and ministry. I discovered, clear as day, that I indeed was one of God's extra grace required people. And as professors are wont to do, he pointed me to a book that I still carry with me. Don't fall asleep while I read the title. Behavioral Covenants in Congregations. A handbook for honoring differences. In the midst of this book is a strategy for what we've come to call holy manners. For what we've been discovering, my friends, is that this world is hungering and longing for peace. This world and the people that live next door to you, the people who were in your parish, they are longing for healthy relationships, but folks don't know how to do it. We live in this world where the me is everything. And folks want to experience community, but don't know how. What would it be if you and I, empowered by the Holy Spirit, you and I, basking underneath of the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, having complete peace that our salvation is won for us, and that we have peace with God, as Paul described in chapter 5, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then, God set us about the holy and wonderful work of striving for peace and wholeness and healthy relationships. What would it be like, my friends, if this place, the place that I love, the place that shaped and formed and blessed me, corrected and encouraged me at Crossroads, what if this place was a place where we did not just experience the peace that God has granted by his favor for this community at this season, but what if this was exactly the moment in the time for you as professors and as students to be able to describe how this peace happens, how we work toward it? That's what St. Paul said. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, as if it did depend on you, live at peace. Work at it. Strive for it. And bless one another by it. Peace. Peace. May God lead you into that again experience of God's great love and mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ. And may this place be a beacon of light and a place where peace that, trust me, our churches and our homes desperately need, that you might be able to go into the world, into your next call, into your next classroom, and be an agent and one who will promote and encourage healthy relationships. Could I have an amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Now may the peace that passes understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.